I want to thank the organizers for inviting me. I'm very excited to share this work with this group. This was done during my postdoc. I was at the University of Minnesota at the IMA, and Satish Kumar was my mentor there. I'm now at RIT. I just started this year. So I wanted everyone to be on the same page, so I thought I'd start by showing you some movies. Okay, so what I'm interested in and understanding is modeling just a droplet of water that contains polystyrene particles. They're about a micron in diameter. And this droplet of water is just evaporating on a microscope slide you can think of at room temperature. Let's see if this works. So these are movies. Is the movie playing? Doesn't look like anything's really moving. Oh, it says it's playing. Is it still loading? Okay, so what you were supposed to see is you were supposed to see the particles in here. Is it moving now? Let me try it again. Oh. No, I don't know why it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Let's see. Maybe if I escape. Maybe if I try this, will it move? No, this is my computer. Okay, but that's okay. I can just keep going. Okay, but what you're supposed to see is so here are the particles, and what you're supposed to see is as the droplet evaporates, the particles will actually migrate. So you would see the contact line staying pinned for a majority of the drying time, and you'd see the particles migrate to the edge of the drop and form what's referred to as the coffee ring effect. And these experiments were recently published in Nature. I don't think this movie is going to work either. Here I was zooming in on the contact line, and you would see the particles just being convected towards the contact line here. And in this study, they were interested in actually, they were studying how the shape of the particle changed this behavior of the transport. Okay. So why are people interested in studying these systems? Okay. So. Drying colloidal droplets are often used to deposit particles on a substrate. So you let the water evaporate and you're left with particles on the substrate. And this appears in many coating applications. So they coat medical devices this way. They also try to print flexible electronic devices. This also actually appears in many biological applications. For example, they've used this flow inside this droplet to stretch DNA. Okay. And they also want to try to use this idea as a diagnostic tool. So this is what's left over after a droplet of blood has dried. And on the bottom, this is someone who's anemic. And on the top is the pattern left by someone who is healthy. And this is very reproducible. So they think maybe this could be an idea. They could study these patterns as a diagnostic tool. So the system that you should have in mind during my talk is you should just think about a droplet of water. It has a micron-sized particles in it. It's evaporating at room temperature. But so despite the simplicity of this experiment, there's a lot of complicated physics going on. Okay, so you have to keep track of the fluid flow and the heat transfer inside the liquid, the substrate, the air. There's going to be there's evidence that there's a Marangoni flow. You have to think about the droplet rheology. So this is a complex fluid. You have particle transport, phase change, as well as contact line dynamics. So as I alluded to in the movie, people have spent a lot of time studying the pattern that's left behind after the water has all evaporated. And what happens most of the time is that you'll be left with a coffee ring. Okay, so all the particles migrate to the contact line and form this ring. And this is a very robust effect and happens on a lot of different substrates, many different size drops, different volume fractions. You start with different amounts of particles and different size particles. Okay. And it was Deegan and coworkers who first identified the mechanism for the coffee ring effect. Okay. The key ingredients are that you need a partially wetting fluid, you have to have a pinned contact line, and you have to have evaporation at the contact line. Okay? So if you look at the top here, the green represents the amount of fluid that would be lost due to evaporation after a time interval is gone, after a slice of time, after some time, I'm sorry. But what's really happening in the experiment is that your contact line is pinned, okay? So this generates a flow inside the drop that carries fluid to the edge of the drop that must replenish what's being lost due to evaporation. And it is this flow that carries the particles to the edge and creates the coffee ring effect. So the focus of my work is trying to understand what we refer to as skin formation. So if you do this exact same experiment, but you look at larger size particles, around a micron is what you should have in mind, during the early stages of drying, what happens is the particles will actually migrate to the top of the drop and form what we call a skin. Okay. And so here is me playing around in the lab at Minnesota. I did a little experiment. So this is early on in time. You can see the cloud there. The particles have collected at the top. And if I were to show you a movie of this, if this continued to dry, what happens is the skin breaks up and the particles do eventually all migrate to the contact line and form the coffee ring effect. Okay, so we are interested in trying to understand this skin formation. And a key feature in understanding this is you really have to be able to explore the depth-wise concentration gradients. Okay. So what you would see if you were watching this experiment, and Deegan did it as well, and he reported about this in a paper that he wrote. Here's what he sees in his experiments with these larger size particles. Okay, in the experimental observations, when he's looking at the flow, he sees a stagnation point in the surface flow. So most of the particles, one side of the stagnation flow, the stagnation point, I'm sorry, the surface flow is going towards the contact line. And then there's a split here where it also travels to the apex of the drop. Okay? So you could think about this, you could attribute this to a Marangoni flow, okay, where this is driven by surface tension gradients. So if you think about the substrate as the primary heating source, then you would think that near the contact line it's hot, so you have a low surface tension, and near the apex of the drop it's cold, and maybe this is what's creating these observations, the stagnation point. So as I alluded to, an important feature that we wanted to include in our model is that when the particles start to pile up at the interface, this is going to affect the viscosity of the fluid. Okay. In particular, we're going to use this relationship that has been verified experimentally. Okay. So mu represents the viscosity of my colloidal suspension, okay, and phi represents the volume fraction of particles. And as the particle volume fraction increases, you can see the viscosity diverges. Okay? And it diverges at what's referred to as the maximum volume fraction. Okay? So for hard spheres, that is 0.64 is the magic number. Okay? So this is an important feature that we wanted to include in our model. It has to do with Stokes-Einstein relation. Yes. I think it has to do with that, but I don't want to. Yes. I'm sorry. So another important feature in this system is the contact line. Okay. So the contact line is formed at the intersection of the fluid-fluid interface and the solid, shown right here. So in the static case, you have a nice relationship between the surface tensions and the contact angle. Okay. And we all know that in classical fluid mechanics, at the substrate here, you have a no-slip condition. And when you have a moving contact line, right, this causes problems. You end up getting a velocity field that's multivalued. Okay. And I think that a similar thing happens when you have a pinned evaporating contact line. Okay, you can imagine you have this no-slip condition, okay, and the interface there is stationary. It's not moving because it's pinned. Right? But in order to satisfy the kinematic condition, the normal component of your velocity would have to match this flux, this evaporative flux. So I believe there's something interesting going on where the velocity field is also multivalued. Just to be careful about that. So the goal we set out with was to develop a model that describes both the coffee ring effect and the skin formation. So I just wanted to highlight a little bit of the prior works in this area. So people have looked at skin formation when they're looking at planar liquid films. So they're sort of ignoring this edge effect, this contact line. And what I'm showing you a picture here from Yancio and Higgins' work. And what they found is that the skin formation depends on the relative importance of time scales due to evaporation, particle diffusion, and particle convection. Okay. So you can imagine that evaporation, as the interface evaporates, this causes the particles to collect at the interface. Okay. What's competing with that is diffusion, which is trying to smooth out any concentration gradients. Okay. And then you also have convection. So in this case, what they were studying here is they were studying a liquid film, and they perturbed it, and they looked at Marangoni flows. So where there was high elevation, it was cold, and when there was low elevation, it was hot, so this generated this Marangoni flow here. And what they found in their study is shown here in this image. As you increase the Peclet number or you weaken diffusion, you can see where it's dark. That means that that's sort of where the maximum particle concentration is happening. So you can see that the skin forms as you increase the Peclet number. And they found that as you increase the Marangoni effects or these instabilities, you begin to see clumps of particles piling up at the top of the drop here. So we're going to see something similar in our work. So I didn't want to try to give you a full review of all the literature on the coffee ring effect. So a lot of people have studied this. I just wanted to sort of highlight a few points. Okay, so the first is that the key understanding is due to Deegan and their work. And they built a model to describe the fluid flow inside the drop. And they assumed that the shape of the drop was a spherical cap. Okay? And they assumed that evaporation was dominated by diffusion. So that's how the vapor moves away from the interface of the droplet. Okay? They also assumed that the radius was fixed in this experiment, in their model. And they assumed that the particle concentration was uniform in the vertical direction. And they were able to show that indeed when the particles do travel to the contact line and recreate this coffee ring effect. Okay? But they found with their model that the particles piled up more quickly than what was seen in experiments. Okay? So part of this discrepancy could be due to this stagnation point that wasn't being captured in their model. Another interesting study that a lot of people have looked into, the idea that the Marangoni effect, the surface flow, can reverse the coffee ring effect. Okay? And so a group at Harvard, I'm showing you what they've, I'm trying to summarize their results here. So this is the contact angle of the droplet. And on top here, the vertical axis, is the ratio of the substrate conductivity, thermal conductivity, to the liquid thermal conductivity. And they found that the ratio of this determines the direction of the flow at the drop. In particular, they found that if the substrate conductivity was at least 2 times greater than what goes on in the liquid thermal conductivity, then you get a flow in this way, where along the surface it's traveling towards the apex of the drop. And conversely, if you have this relationship where the ratio is below 2, it sort of depends on the contact angle, but they found using asymptotics that the flow is reversed. Okay, so this is another interesting effect that's relevant to our work. So if I were to summarize the common themes in all the prior works, I shouldn't say all, but most of the major ones, is that they assume that there's a uniform vertical particle concentration. Okay? They assume that the evaporation is diffusion limited, and they also assume that the contact line is pinned. Okay? So sort of where our work fits in is that we are going to relax this condition and try to capture the concentration gradient in the vertical direction. We are going to look at a different regime of evaporation, okay, which we refer to as the sort of fast evaporation. So you can imagine that the process of evaporation is determined by sort of two processes. So one is sort of this transfer rate. So you could think about when the molecules actually go from the interface into the vapor. Okay. And the other limit is when you look at where once the molecules are in the vapor, how they move away from the how they move away from the interface. So we are going to look at the limit where the limiting process is actually this jump across the interface. Okay. So this is a little different than what's been than the prior works. And also, we are going to put in a precursor film, okay, and therefore our contact line will not be pinned. Okay, so we're sort of moving a little bit away from what's seen experimentally, but this was our first attempt to get a handle on the skin formation. So here is an overview of our model. We are going to assume that our droplet is axisymmetric, okay, and I'm interested in trying to calculate the interface, the shape of the drop, which is H. Okay. The droplet is thin, so I'm going to use lubrication theory. And I have a precursor film here. So that was our way of sort of handling this issue at the contact line. You have a pinned evaporating contact line. So you can get a feel for the model. I'm going to have a fluid component that will determine the shape of the drop as well as the velocity, the flow inside the drop. Okay. And that's going to be passed to a particle transport model, so I'm going to keep track of the volume fraction of the particles. And because I'm interested in understanding the role of rheology, there'll be a link back where the particle concentration will affect the viscosity of the fluid. So here's an overview of the droplet model. So this most of you know in lubrication theory, once I know the shape of the droplet, I can resolve the velocity field inside. So this is the equation that I'm going to use that's going to describe how the drying droplet, the shape of the droplet changes. Okay. So the change in the interface, okay, is due to the net flux at a particular value r. It's the difference between the net flux and what's being lost due to evaporation at the interface. Okay. So if we sort of look at the different terms inside of Q, I have a piece that's, let me first just tell you about my evaporation term. So again, I'm looking in this limit where the evaporation rate is fast. Okay, so the rate limiting process is this phase transition. So the evaporation rate, it's determined by the temperature, okay, as well as the van der Waals force here. And the reason why we include this is because we do not want our precursor film to evaporate. Okay, so inside the precursor film, there's an equilibrium where this where evaporation is being balanced by van der Waals forces. Okay. So the key feature about this evaporative flux is that you can see it starts to blow up as I move towards the contact line. Okay. I'm sorry, theta represents the temperature. It's the temperature difference between the substrate and the interface. Okay. So if we start to look at what's going on, what's driving our flow, okay, I'm going to have capillarity. And my pressure, again, I have a surface tension term, and then I have a van der Waals term. Okay. So what you'll see when I show you some simulations is that my droplet is going to want to spread due to this capillarity. Here is the link to the particle transport, so you can see the rheology, the viscosity depends on the particle concentration. Okay. And then I have a term that represents the Marangoni flow over here. And for my boundary conditions, I need two conditions. And essentially what I do is I cut the domain off. So I pick L to be large enough so there's nothing happening far away at L. So remember L, there will be a precursor film. Okay. So to sort of give you a feel for how this model will behave, okay, so evaporation is going to cause the interface to decrease, right? And as I noted, the evaporation is largest near the contact line, okay, so it's hottest there. Then I have my Marangoni flow, okay? So my Marangoni flow is a surface flow that's dragging the fluid from hot up into cold, okay? And that competes with this capillarity that just wants to spread the drop. It's pressure gradient. So that is linked to the particle transport model, okay? So this is a convection diffusion equation. So once I know the shape of the droplet, I can calculate the velocity in the radial direction as well as the vertical direction. Okay. So that's the convection term, and then I have diffusion over here. You can notice that in the R direction, the diffusion is it doesn't pop out at leading order. Okay. So as I mentioned, the particle volume fraction is between 0 and the maximum packing limit. So for spheres, that's 0.64. Okay. So the non-dimensional parameter that I will play around with for this particle transport model is the Peclet number, which measures the rate of convection to diffusion. Okay. I'm going to sort of assume an artificial initial condition. Okay. So inside, I'm going to have a uniform particle concentration. And near the contact line, which is at 1, when I non-dimensionalize, I'm going to ramp down the particle concentration smoothly, so it's 0 in the precursor film. Okay, so this is a polynomial that makes a nice smooth, makes it smooth when I go from phi naught to 0. Okay, and the precursor film is too thin to have any particles in it. Yes, when I do the asymptotics, that is at the next order, so it doesn't come out at leading order. Yes, for right now, yes. Yes, I ignore it in this model. So the boundary conditions are no flux. I don't let any particles leave the system. And as I alluded to when I talked about what's being seen and looking at planar films that are evaporating, this boundary condition, this no-flux boundary condition at the interface, is going to help collect particles at the interface. So as the interface starts to evaporate, the particles are going to collect up there. This is sort of an overview of the numerical scheme, so you can have an idea what's going on here. So the drying droplet model is just solved in 1D in a fixed domain, where the particle transport model has to be solved inside this moving droplet shape. I have to resolve the concentration, the particle concentration inside the droplet. Okay. So to handle that, I'm using a technique that's called an overset grid technique. So here I'm showing you a picture of the droplet grid. Okay. It's made up of multiple locally rectangular grids. They overlap and cover the domain. So there are two grids that are here. I have a background Cartesian grid, and what's cutting my boundary is this boundary-fitted grid. These two grids overlap, and they communicate via interpolation. Well, it can handle this moving geometry. That was my... Yes, the particle distribution will depend on R and Z, yes. Right. So I'm going to use a method of lines, okay? So I'm going to first do spatial discretizations, okay? So I replace all the spatial derivatives. I'm going to use second-order finite differences, effectively. And the time discretization is a semi-implicit backward Euler method. So here you can sort of get an overview of how the scheme works. So I solved the droplet equations in MATLAB, and then I solved the particle concentration inside this package called Overture. Okay, so Overture is developed at Lawrence Livermore National Lab and has the capabilities of using these overset grids, handling these overset grids. So what happens is I read in the data at time n, so this is telling me the particle concentration at time n into Overture. Okay. I use that information to calculate the viscosities, okay, and then I can calculate the interface shape at time n plus 1 integrating. Once I know the shape of the droplet at n plus 1, okay, I read it to Overture, and Overture updates my grid as my domain is moving. And then it will calculate the new particle concentration. Okay, so it's semi-implicit because the velocity fields depend on time n. Okay. And then I repeat. Yes. So it has a nice boundary-fitted grid. Yes. So let me tell you what happens when I first turn off this rheology effect. So I have a constant viscosity, okay? And here I'm going to turn off the Marangoni effect, and I have a small Peclet number. Okay. So what I'm showing you over here is I'm showing you contours of the particle concentrations. Okay. So where it's red, that means there's a higher concentration, and where it's blue, it's zero. So you can sort of see the artifact of my initial condition, where it was 0.1 to begin with, and it ramps down into zero. So this is after 2 seconds have passed, okay, and you can see this effect of the particles starting to collect at the interface due to evaporation. Okay. Because the evaporation rate is largest near the contact line, you can sort of see it's darker here. What I'm showing you over here is the fluid flow inside the drops. The arrows tell you the direction. The color tells you the speed. Okay? So where it's red, it's moving faster. Okay? So this is during the surface tension-driven spreading. So the droplet is spreading at this point. Okay, as I continue on, you can see that the particles that started to collect at the interface are penetrating down. Okay? And they're also being swept towards the contact line here. Okay. If I continue to go, you can see that eventually I reach the maximum volume fraction here at the contact line, and I stop my simulations because my viscosity will diverge when I turn that on. Okay. So if we compare the effects of the Peclet number, we see a very similar thing that Yancio and Higgins saw. So as we increase the Peclet number, we're weakening diffusion, and this causes the particles to collect at the interface here. So you can imagine that as the interface is evaporating, there's this competition between evaporation, which is collecting the particles, and diffusion, which is kicking them out to smooth out the concentration gradients. Yes. Sure. Not true here. No. They're being swept towards the contact. Yes. They're not at the, yeah. Yes. So they are collecting at the interface, but this is due to evaporation, right? So the interface is going down, and the particles are sort of I think about it like a windshield wiper. They sort of get collected there due to this no flux boundary condition. And now I want to tell you what happens when I turn on the effect of the Marangoni number, okay? So here I'm showing you two snapshots. Okay, these are the end of the simulation. So this is when I reach the maximum volume fraction. Okay. So you can see that when m is zero, the droplet has spread and the particles have collected at the contact line here. Okay. But when I turn on the Marangoni effect, now my surface flow, right, it goes from the contact line up to the apex of the drop. Okay. And this causes the skin here to actually persist, and it starts to pull the particles that were initially large here, it starts to pull them towards the apex of the drop. Okay. And you can also see that the Marangoni, when I turn on the Marangoni effect, it does also affect the shape of the drop, right? It competes with the spreading, and the drop is more upright. Now if I want to study what happens, now I turn on this rheology, and I'm going to say the particles affect the viscosity of the liquid. Okay. And here I'm showing you a snapshot with two different simulations, one where the viscosity is constant and one where it depends on the particle concentration. And this is at the same time. Okay. So the key feature to note is because the particles start to collect at the interface here, when I turn on the rheology, that slows down this Marangoni, this pull due to Marangoni. So if you can compare the color bars here, this is 2.5 times 10 to the negative 4, and that's 10 times 10 to the negative 4. So it slows down this surface flow. And that sort of hinders the particles getting pulled up to the top. I don't have a sense. I just know that the velocity decreases, but it's going to sort of depend in this way. Oh, I'm sorry. The viscosity. Yes. I could calculate it for you using this formula, but I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. So we also looked at what happens if we start with a smaller particle concentration. Oh, I'm sorry, these arrows didn't come out like I anticipated. But if I start with a smaller initial particle concentration, essentially what that means is that in my simulation it can run longer because it takes a longer amount of time to reach the maximum volume fraction. And if you see, as the simulation goes on, you can see that this pull is causing the particles to move to the apex of the drop, okay? And because I'm starting with a smaller initial particle concentration, this slowdown effect is sort of delayed. And I can also sort of tell you a little bit about the influence of the rheology and the initial particle concentration on the droplet shape, okay? So you can see that as I increase the initial particle concentration, that slows down my droplet spreading. Okay, so it changes the dynamics of the contact line. And it also hinders the droplet getting pulled upright. Because when I have a larger initial particle concentration, that means my viscosity is larger. Okay. So in conclusion, we developed a model that can describe both skin formation and the coffeering effect. We found that when the Peclet number is large and the Marangoni number is large, this promotes skin formation. We found that the rheology slows down the fluid motion, especially along the interface, and hinders droplet spreading. Okay, so there's still a lot of open questions, right? So what happens when you have a pin contact line? So I let my droplet spread. Okay, that was a modeling choice to handle the contact line. What happens when you're in the diffusion-limited regime? So when you're in the diffusion-limited regime, you have to keep track of the vapor transport outside the drop, right? And then we're also interested in trying to understand the solid formation at the droplet edge. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.